Good evening and welcome to Italian Impact Weekly. I'm your co-host Steve Stefano Mancini.
And my name is Claudio Relsano. And as always, we appreciate you tuning in and not just looking at the solar eclipse, which everybody's going crazy about, and I don't get it, but that's okay.
I'm still waiting for the UFOs.
I can't see you, Steve. Should I put glasses on? What the?
Oh, I forgot all about that. We're supposed to wear glasses. That explains why everything looks so dark and blinding.
Good thing there's no ball game today. They drop a fly ball, and then they have an excuse for dropping a fly ball. Okay. Right?
Our buckos. We'll have to hold a spot for that because at some point, I'm waiting for the world to come crashing for the Pittsburgh Pirate fans.
Oh, yeah.
What are you thinking about 25 games in when the real bucks show
what
up?
What is this? April? Sometime
late May, early June,
mid May.
Okay, then they'll do what they do. Why do that? Real quick, I got to ask the question. Why do you think they seem to start off well?
Just when you have a 162-game schedule, everybody's going to win a stretch of games. Everybody's going to lose a stretch of games. The trick is to not lose as many stretch of games as everybody else. Okay, so that's what it is.
But for some reason, they seem to always, last few years, they've been starting off strong, and then the real Pirates show up, and you're like,
yeah, well, again, you can get away with it in football. You can get away with it on a short schedule. You can get hot. In baseball, it's a marathon, as I say, not a sprint.
Got it.
And, but at the end of the day, you need the horses.
Yeah, no, that's right. And for whatever reason, though, they it's like teams make adjustments. Something happens. And then they just can't buy wins late, especially later in the season.
Well, and the thing, too, I know we want to make this a baseball thing, but I've said it numerous times. If you and I are terrible at golf, one of us has to win. Baseball, as I was explaining to our guest today on the way up, is extremely mediocre, very mediocre. And anybody has a chance to win, even the Pirates. They could – last year's World Series participant, the Diamondbacks – or no, they won, I think, 86 games.
Barely.
More games than the Pirates.
Yeah. It's luck of the draw. It's also about your division. I think they're in a weak division. They're going to look way better than they really are.
But think of this last thing about that. The Pirates of the 70s were one of the best teams, organizations ever. That 10-year stretch, they only made the playoffs 6 times, which means what? The other teams were pretty damn good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So. We don't have, like you said, I just still think that sports in general are mediocre.
Everywhere.
I just think we've expanded. It's all about betting. It's about individual stats. Individual stats have replaced the team effort of sports. That's why you don't have good teams.
Yeah.
You have good athletes, individuals, but you don't have good teams.
And the teaching, at least in baseball, the coaching isn't as good as it used to
be. I think the problem is I think you nailed it. It's not necessarily it's bad. It's cookie cutter.
Yeah,
it's
and it
like
doesn't
nobody
work
wants
for
to deviate. Nobody wants to be like. I also think there's a real lack of originality in any sport. I see in every sport. I remember somebody said once hockey's the most overcoached sport because it's the same systems. It's the same. I mean, everything is the. I mean, there's only so much you can do on an ice rink, and it's the same with baseball. At some point, you run out of things that you can do different or you're afraid to deviate.
They try to reinvent the wheel. The swing is the same swing as since Ty Cobb and Babe Ruth. They just uppercut. Somebody told me today how they can hit the lower half of the ball to make it the hell out of here.
That's what I was taught. Aim for the top 25% of the ball and swing as hard as I can, as high as I can into the sky. And it'll go far every time.
As they say in Italian, Vanapola.
All right, Claudio, you can introduce our guest. By the way, he has been fiddling. My God, he is prepared for this interview. We said, no way you're allowed to show up here and not be ready. And I wish our folks could see
And
this.
We're only going to ask him one question.
I know, this is fantastic.
We're going to go back and talk about baseball.
I appreciate the fact you brought so many resources, and this guy is not joking. Claudio, tell us who we got.
One time we had a guest we thought he was dying. We were worried about him. Anyway. Okay, our guest today is a former Pac-10 official, Big Ten official, and which means he has tough skin, and he's quick to correct. He's right. And he's also the president of the Western PA Sports Hall of Fame, and I think I just blew my shot for it by saying he was a Pac-10 official. All right, Mr. Jack Teets. Mr. Teets, thank you so much for being on our show today.
Claudia, thank you. Appreciate being here, and as the non-Italian here, I intend to have some fun and also be able to support or promote the Western Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. Our annual event is an induction ceremony and dinner that's held every year, the last Saturday in April. Mm-hmm. It's coming up April the 27th, 6 p.m. at the Sheraton Station Square. I also happen to be the ticket coordinator, which doubles my duties. So if you have any information or need information, you can reach me, Jack Teets, at hotmail.com or at 412-855-7625.
And we'll actually put that information on. We post with the show up. So you can check in the description below, and you should see all that information. So if you want to reach out to Jack, it's going to be there for you.
Yeah, and we'll definitely continue mentioning that. Until
despite
the event.
Fact that he's not Italian. We'll talk about that later.
But what are some of your responsibilities with the organization?
As the president for the last couple of years, and this is the 53rd year for the Western chapter, so I'm the sixth or seventh president. One of the presidents, my mentor, ran the thing for 30 years.
And who is he?
A fellow by the name of Tick Clardy, a longtime football official here in Western Pennsylvania, and just, again, another wonderful, great guy who dedicated a whole lot of time and effort to keeping this Sports Hall of Fame alive here in Pittsburgh. What's interesting is we are one of 30 chapters across the state. The group, as it's comprised, is the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. And then geographically, there are chapters in each area. So as the Western chapter, we've got, you know, Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and some surrounding areas. We're not necessarily limited by geography, but we tend to operate here in the Western region of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame. We are the largest with over 650 members. And membership is easy. I'll make sure that goes on the information that gets provided in conjunction with the show. Membership is $10 a year. If you're over 65, I think the lifetime membership is $50 a year. And we've got, you know, pretty much a cross-section of lifetime members and annual members. Our whole shtick is to try to promote a combination of athletes, coaches, officials, and sports personalities, contributors, who have done exceptional things in the world of sports here in Western Pennsylvania. But it also goes beyond sports. So, you know, we tend to have people who have some marquee name recognition, and we have other people who are just genuine great people who have been affiliated with sports and have gone on to do great things, you know, throughout their careers. Mm-hmm. We've got 750 members who've been inducted into our Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame over these last 53 years. We tend to induct 10 to 12 people a year, more or less. Out of that group of 750 then, each year, we also have an election for the Pennsylvania statewide Sports Hall of Fame. And of our inductees, our 750, we've got about 150 members who've been inducted into the statewide Sports Hall of Fame. That event is in the fall. Our chapter event is in the spring every year. So this year, as the 53rd annual, we skipped the COVID year. You know, we've got 10 great inductees. In addition, we have two special honors and awards that we give out. One is awarded in the honor of Darrell Hess, who was also a longtime sports personality and genuine character here in Western Pennsylvania. That award, we recognize someone who's been inducted into their sports Hall of Fame, who may not necessarily have name recognition to get a lot of votes here in Western Pennsylvania. And this year, that award winner is Carol Zaleski. And Carol is in the USA Swimming Hall of Fame. She's been involved both as an official, a participant, and a judge at swimming events for over 50 years. So she will be the inductee of distinction in the Darrell Hess Awardee in 2024. We also have an award that's sponsored by the William Campbell Family Foundation. William Campbell and his family from Homestead originally were very much involved in sports here in Western Pennsylvania, and one of the sons, also Bill Campbell, I don't think he was junior, from Homestead originally, played football at Columbia and went on to have a very successful career as an entrepreneur, was the founder and owner of the Intuit tax business. So they have given us a small endowment, and we use that to provide a $5,000 a year grant to a foundation that's related to youth or youth sports. This year, that foundation honor will go to Mel Blunt and his foundation for his youth home. Last year, we had, because of it being an anniversary year and the recent death of Franco Harris, we had two honorees for our Campbell Award last year, Roberto Clemente's foundation and the Franco Harris Foundation. So again, we tend to try to promote and support youth sports. We tend to try and promote, obviously, you know, a wide cross-section of people here in Western Pennsylvania. And if I can take 2 seconds to get a breath, I will do that, and I'll come back and tell you who the honorees are for this current year. Sure. In April.
Yeah, you know, we're going to probably jump around here because we have a lot of questions on it. But where are the plaques used to be in Cranberry? Are they at the Doubletree, I believe?
No, they're at the Sheraton at Station Square.
Okay, now they're at the Sheraton?
Sheraton at Station Square.
But they used to be in Cranberry.
They used to be at the Doubletree up there in Cranberry. Okay. And I don't want to mention the name, but someone else bought that, and they didn't want us up there.
Wow.
So we had been at the Sheraton before we were at the Doubletree.
Okay.
We went back to the owners at the time, different people in charge, and they welcomed us back.
Good.
That hotel's now gone through a transition from Marriott has acquired Sheraton, mm-hmm. and we were a little bit concerned, but they welcomed us back with open arms. And we've got a room there that's available for luncheons and dinners, probably seats, you know, 30 or 40 people. But we've got the annual plaques, which are the 53 plaques of the inductees into the Western chapter, on a wall and a half in that room. And then we've got individual plaques of each inductee into the State Hall of Fame. All of those plaques are on the walls at that Sheraton.
Oh, so the Western PA are not, their individual plaques are not up?
No, we have the program, we send everybody, you know, a picture, and you get an individual plaque that you can take with you.
Sure.
But we have not had room to be able to mount 750, you know, individual plaques. But we've got, you know, an annual plaque, and we've got, you know, one of the gold nameplates with everybody's
sure.
name and a little bit, you know, some history of why they're there.
Okay.
Those are all down at the Sheraton at Station Square. If you go to the desk, they can direct you towards that room. If it's locked, they will open it and let people in.
Nice.
One of the problems we had up in Cranberry, we had to put plexiglass up to cover everything because people were at middle of the night making off with some of our...
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. So we had to replace a few, but at the end of the day, when we went down to the Sheraton, we no longer really have that problem.
Okay.
Or knock on wood, we've not had that problem.
So that serves as your de facto, you know, Hall of Fame for Westbury. Where's the state level one?
The state level one right now, there was an effort to try to get a mobile, you know, traveling bus program, but it became too cost prohibitive. So the state is pretty much a virtual Hall of Fame. Each of the four regions, you know, as we do here, maintains the individual plaques for their respective inductees. But there are several states, including, I think, Georgia, that it's a statewide function. And there's money in the state budgets, and they have an actual.
I think that Pennsylvania, for as sports centric as this state is, you would think that somewhere in this state, in the capital, even if it was on a campus of a university,
well,
somewhere.
I was going to say, even have you ever tried to have a relationship with the Hines History Center?
Yeah,
in the process of doing that now with Ann Murazak, who is the curator, if you will,
I'm
for
flabbergasted, and nobody want to put a wall up just to. For most of the people are going to be from Western Pennsylvania. That's what you're celebrating is Western Pennsylvania.
I'm the president of the Italian Hall of Fame here in Pittsburgh, and I was at the Chicago event in December, and they just got a building and the whole nine yards, and you ought to see some unbelievable stuff that they have.
For the
Italian Hall of Fame, the main
Chicago.
In Chicago, yeah. But all of the hoops you have to jump
it's through. It's a big deal.
It should be easy. You would think that anybody would want that because it's a museum.
If you're the recognized authority, I can't scratch my head. For all those stupid things we've got museums for.
Marciano's belt, Lombardi's stuff, and boom, boom, all kind of stuff. And why wouldn't you beg for that? But they did get their building. They're working on it. They left the
Where is that in Chicago? Like not downtown?
You
know where?
If you wouldn't have asked me, I
like to put you on the spot, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It is
relatively close to Chicago.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
no,
it's
no,
not
that's fine.
Downtown, but it's not too
probably
far.
Better that way. Yeah. I've been to Chicago many a time.
So who are the inductees for this year?
So the inductees for this year include Bruce Atkins, who was an all-state basketball player at Wilkinsburg High School and played in the Round Ball Classic and played at Duquesne University. And played, I believe, for the 76ers. He was drafted in the fourth round. A fellow named Randy Wilson, who for the past 21 years has been the boys and girls cross-country coach at Central Cambria High School. His winning record, or his record, is 225-5. So he's been 98% successful, has had a number of wonderful kids
that is impressive.
Go on to college careers, and he'll be joining us on the 27th.
Either his training or his recruiting is phenomenal, or a little of
in
both.
In Central Cambria, it's probably both.
Yeah.
Probably both. A gentleman by the name of Mark Perry, who's a very successful soccer coach, played and graduated from Springdale High School and went on to play at Wheeling Jesuit College, and has been successful. WPIL teams have played 37 out of 39 seasons. So he's been, where has he been? He has been coach of the year, doesn't tell me where. But he was at Hampton, and I believe right now he is at North Allegheny. Although, again, my notes don't have enough. The next gentleman is a fellow named Terry Russell, who's a longtime Pittsburgh football player, coach, and contributor. Played at Central Catholic and then played for Dan McCann at Duquesne University when Duquesne started back with its club program and then morphed into its original Division III, now Division I football program. So Terry was one of the players, star players there at Duquesne, and then stayed on and was on the staff with Dan McCann. And when Dan McCann turned the program over, Terry was the head coach for 4 or 5 years and continues to be a big supporter of Duquesne University football and Duquesne University. We've got a fellow named Mickey Marotti. He comes from Ambridge, Pennsylvania. He's a strength coach. He's got 44 years of strength coach skills and capabilities. He was at Notre Dame. He was at the University of Florida. And he's currently at the at Ohio State as the head strength coach. He was inducted into the USA Strength and Conditioning Coaches Hall of Fame back in 2012. Next gentleman is a fellow named Jim McCoy. He's the all-time leading scorer at Central Catholic. He went on to be a four-year starter at the University of Massachusetts. This was, you know, years ago, back in the 1987 and 88 time frame. So
I was there at Central.
Okay. Do you remember Jim at all?
I know the name.
Yeah. Okay. Played professionally in Sweden and Spain for more than 10 years, and he's inducted into the Pittsburgh Basketball Hall of Fame. The next gentleman, another basketball player, Darrell Porter, who played at Perry Traditional Academy, was part of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette Fab Five, and has scored over 1,000 points when he was at Pitt. He's also the all-time assist leader at Pitt. He was the head basketball coach for almost 10 years at Duquesne University, and he'll be joining us. He's also the current executive director of the Ozanam Cultural Center in the Hill District, which is a big, you know, community-based organization for both boys and girls youth sports programs. Again, a lot of basketball successful players have come out of the Ozanam program. A young lady by the name of Megan D'Amico, she was an all-time tennis star at Fox Chapel and AAA singles champion, and went on to play at Denison and was the North Coast Athletic Conference Player of the Year for tennis in 2007 and 2008. She'll be joining us. And then there's Mike Berger. Again, another Pittsburgh Catholics, Pittsburgh Central Catholic graduate. He's in his 45th season in support of professional baseball. He's been a coach. He's been a scout. He's been in the minors. He's managed a couple of the minor league teams. He's been a member of the Montreal Expos, the Houston Astros, the Colorado Rockies, and Toronto Blue Jays staffs. I believe for the past 7 years, he's been in the scouting department for the Milwaukee Brewers. And he lives in Oakmont, Pennsylvania. Again, one of the things that I've found in the 15 years I've been involved is there are so many people who are so deserving who, for the most part, you just don't see much media attention around them. I mean, when you look at this particular group of people, they are not necessarily, you know, household names in the local media for sports, and yet they've been, you know, very successful people and have had very successful sports careers for an extended period of time. The last gentleman is Carl Coleman. He's going to be inducted posthumously. He graduated from Peabody High School, played basketball at Duquesne University, but he was the founder and main driver of the Ozanam Cultural Center for over 50 years. And his role as a contributor to all of the youth programs at Ozanam were one of the things, again, that caught our attention as, you know, we go through and evaluate candidates for our process. And after I take another breath, I'll talk about our process for a few minutes.
Well, I did hear a few Italian names in there, so I'm okay. I expected a few more, Claudia, but, you know, that's what you guys are for.
Right, that's right, that's so. Right. Yeah, that's right. What is the process like? How do people get nominated and who votes and so on and so forth?
Sure. So there's an executive board, 15, 16, 17 of us, that are the mainstay to, you know, kind of drive this process. We request nominees from our membership. And in order to be a member and nominate somebody, it costs you $10, you know, for that year to nominate them. Anybody that's a lifetime member, you know, they've already paid, but they can put a nomination in as well. We generally get 30, perhaps 40 nominations, and we tend to get those nominations and try to seek them May, June, and July. We then try to pare that down and create a ballot of 16 to 20 people, again, trying to balance sports and contributors and, you know, look at the best combination of people that we think are worthy. And everybody in their own way is worthy, sure, you know, of this kind of an award. But again, unfortunately, we can't recognize everybody that's nominated. But we go through a screening process, our executive board, and then we develop a ballot. Like I said, it's got 15, 18, sometimes 20 people on it. That ballot then goes out in September to our membership. And we, the 650 members, we generally get about 450 to 500 returns of the ballots, which is the thing we push people to do. If you're going to be a member, you know, pay attention.
Be active,
you have
right?
to vote. We don't want people just saying, here's your $10, and, you know, we
never
don't
seen
care.
It. Oh, I've seen care. Too many clubs like that where people just pay. They say, pay. Maybe they even pay their annual dues, but what's the point of joining if you're not going to get involved? If you can't get involved, don't join. Now the clubs might have a problem now because they're going to lose the money, but at the same time, it's like, you know, what are you here for?
So the members vote.
For what we do, it's important to us to keep our membership involved and to keep...
Well, they're voting on who's going in it. Absolutely.
That's right. And we think that is particularly really important. And it's how, when this was founded back in 63 or 64 in Oakland by Frankie Gustine and Tut Melman and a couple other names from the past, including, there's a couple of Italian guys, and I can't find those.
That's all that matters to me.
I can't find those
that's
notes.
That's all that matters. I just want to hear a few paisanos are in there.
I mean, when they put it together, you know, the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame was a couple years older, and these guys took it and said, we want a chapter here in Western Pennsylvania. So they would meet at Frankie Gustine's, and I think the committee started at five or six, and then it's expanded to be the 15 to 20 people that we have now. And, you know, you look back over time at, you know, the people who have been, you know, part of this, and I'll give you a couple other names. I mean, Roberto Clemente, Roger Kingdom, Bill Frelick, Arnold Palmer, Dwight White, Swin Cash, George Novak, Tom Bradley, Sean Casey, Bob Pompiani, Art Rooney. The list just, you know, goes on.
Bruno,
and on.
John.
Now,
Calipari.
To be clear, not we're talking involved, meaning active members participating.
No, those are
inductees.
These are inductees, both local as statewide.
I got you.
The list of our 650 members, again, I'm sure there's a number of Italian names in there, but I don't have that.
We wouldn't have had you on if there weren't. Let's just leave it. What's that?
Calipari, San Martino,
yes.
Probably.
Yes.
Probably Andretti in the PA Hall of Fame.
Yes.
There's a lot of them, sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I was hoping that Calipari might come back this year because McCoy played for him when he was at UMass. Well,
right.
I've got one guy, Mike Rogal, who's still chasing Calipari, but he just left Kentucky today to go to Arkansas.
Yeah, is it official?
So, yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So Rogal said, I'm not the
Although whenever he got the Western PA – Sports Hall of Fame. I forgot what. Well, he just signed with Kentucky.
Yes.
And he had to go to the Kentucky Derby.
Yes.
Because if you don't go to the Kentucky Derby and you're the head coach of Kentucky,
you're not going to be the head coach very long.
Well, and we have a similar rule. If you can't participate, okay, and be there to receive the award in person, unless you're deceased, we'll hold it for 1 year. But after that, you know, we move on. So that's part of our.
So everybody's showed up. They got their reward.
These people, yes. To be inducted, you've got to come in person. We've got two people that are going to carry over to next year because they both had health. In the last couple of years, COVID and everything, we've had a few more people that we've tried to honor, you know, who are older. But if your health doesn't allow you to be there, we feel bad. But again, we have to push it to next year and hope you feel
It's a great
better.
Event. I was there for Calipari. I was there for Joe LaQuatre. I was there for Chuck Knox. And just a first-class event.
So, Claudia, we got to get you nominated before we're doing it posthumously.
Talk to him. I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can. But
one of our football guys, maybe he'll get you nominated. But Matt Aloisio, if you come across Matt, who's still a replay guy for the Big Ten, I've got to get you introduced to him. So I'll get him to put you up as a nominee.
There you go. We're making the pledge now, at least, Claudia, to get you nominated.
I appreciate
that. Now, it's up to the 400 members, but if it makes you feel good, I'll join to vote for you, buddy. I'm going to support
that.
My friend.
Thank you.
Interestingly enough that you say that, because in large measure, that's how it works.
Right.
Okay? Some of the names of people, okay, that when they find out they're on the ballot, we encourage them to get friends and family to join, not because they can stuff the ballot box, but they can certainly.
Yeah, this isn't a federal election. We have to do this a little more honestly.
And we do. But we do also encourage people to get friends and family. That also, interestingly enough, we should have between 350 and 400 people at the event.
Good.
Yeah. Where's it at this year?
At Station Square at the Sheraton. Going to be nice every year until they tell us they don't want us anymore.
You know, those things are so special. You see the ones on TV, and the NFL ones can be a little bit long, but I tell you what, I love when these guys, what do I always say, speak from the heart up, not the neck up. These guys just lay it on the line, and there's nothing better than that when you receive something. And I always liked it when an old Italian saying, And forgive me, whenever I got the Italian Coach of the Year Award, the first thing I said was, if you ever see a turtle on top of a fence post, you know he didn't get there alone.
Oh, you love that one, buddy.
I do. Well, because you know what? You don't get there alone.
It's the truth. No, I agree.
Like whatever I'm doing here at this show, if you didn't bring me on board, well, I'd be talking to myself.
It's true, though. Somebody's helping
us.
One time, we just have to acknowledge that.
But one time, I'll never forget, it was at a banquet. This guy, I remember when I did that, he was going on for it. And you remember the old vaudevillian hooks? Man, they wanted to hook him. Nobody else did a damn thing for him. It was all him, you know. But it's nice to thank people, you know, for your help and for all that kind of stuff. And those things are nice. Although, we talked about this before, the greatest speech ever was a friend of mine, Joe LaQuatre. He was in for boxing. And we were going to go watch Oscar De La Hoya fight somebody. I forgot who it was. But he went up. He said, thank you. And he walked off. And he got the biggest ovation of the night.
Sure.
He got the biggest ovation of the night.
Sure. Keep it simple. That's for
it,
sure.
Now, I now sit next to the speakers. And I have the express duty and responsibility to give them the hook. I stand up. I put my hand over the microphone. I say, you have 2 more minutes.
Well, what was the same as?
I sit down. If they go again, I go up. I put my hand on the microphone. I say, you're done.
Well, what was the famous Sinatra? Sinatra won an award, and they dogged him. You don't do that to him. And then the other one was Valvano when he gave his famous speech, and that's when he said, I got some guy in the back telling me 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And he said, I got tumors all over my body. I'm worried about some guy.
Yeah.
And then he goes in the time, Finopoly.
There's always special circumstances.
Yeah, you got to let that one go.
Yeah, right. Ooh. But if you start, I gave you 6 or 8 minutes, and when you start with your fourth grade basketball team, you've taken up 8 or 10 minutes, and we're up to like your freshman year, and you played in.
When they start 1968, when they go 1968, oh boy! Although one of my favorite ones, and I'm going to ask you this, and I'll ask you if you put you on the spot. I have so many ones that I have taped and I watched and just got to me, but the one was Bill Mazeroski. He was doing this right. He couldn't do it. He could not talk. He was just so choked up by it. And, boy, I just that was like one of my favorite. And he says, forget it. I can't do it. Thank you. It was a great speech. What was there a memorable one for you that just stands out?
There were probably several. One of them, and as you're saying that, shame on me for getting older and losing some of my recall. But we also, every 4 years, we do, the Western Region does the state induction ceremony. And we inducted somebody from football who was from, I think, out in either Harrisburg or Lancaster and had a CTE issue. So was able to come, still, you know, appeared to be fine, but got up and kind of lost his place and lost his notes. And somebody went up to try to help him. And then his wife got up from the table and went up on the podium, put her arm around him and said, "He says thank you." And they walked off together. There wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Sure.
Wasn't a dry eye in the place.
Steve, is there one that you have you ever watched one, right?
Like I tell you what, yes. I tell you what, the funniest one, I think it was Terry Bradshaw.
Oh, yeah.
It said he wanted to put his hands
that's
under
right.
his butt.
Mike Webster.
Mike Webster, yeah. To me, that's probably, just from a comic perspective, that one
great.
Just cracked me up.
He was great.
I watched, obviously a few speeches here and there, but I think the problem is you're not going to remember them unless there's a moment in the speech, like you said, where, you know, it's like the wife has to come up or let me put my hands under. I mean, those are the ones you're just like, oh, I mean, because to your point, you're not going to remember this guy's telling you about his fourth grade basketball. You're like, oh, that's great. Anyways, what's, you know, is dessert being served here, you know? It's the moment. It's a moment in the speech that I'll remember. Now, that hands under the butt was one just cracks me up.
There has to be something that, as Chris Corciani said, makes you stand apart from everybody else. But so how is this year's attendance for the banquet? You said about 350?
I think we'll be between 350 and 400.
Good.
Last year we were over 400. And part of it, again, is the function of, you know, who all the inductees are and what other issues or, you know, conflicts people have at the time. As I said, we had two other inductees this year that probably would have brought another, you know, 50 or 100 people in. But we had, because of health reasons, we had to push them till next year.
Right.
So as long as we're comfortable, if we get between 350 and 400, that works, and everybody's, you know, it's a success, and we've honored a lot of good people. If we can get over 400, it's just, you know, gravy on top.
All right, I want to ask, I know this is Italian Impact Weekly, so I got to ask, are there any Italians in your family that you're aware of?
I know. I have a lot of Italian friends.
There you go. All right.
He likes Italian food.
We've got to have some tie in.
I've got Tallarico's and I've got Naccarelli's.
I promise you, there's somebody listening going, I don't get what this has to do with Italian. Absolutely nothing.
That's okay.
Did you eat on Sundays?
That's right.
There you go. You had a meal on Sundays.
Yes.
There's the connection.
Yes.
Congrats. Welcome to the family.
Yes. That's right. And generally, we eat early on Sundays.
Now, how many years have you been president, and how many years you want to continue to do it?
Good question. I've been the president now 3 years, been in the organization for 16, and I'm committed to another three or four.
Is it a term, or can you just resign when you feel like?
Sort of.
Okay.
You can resign as long as you've picked somebody
that's
going to keep it going.
I get it.
Okay, that has the same intensity
it's
and
not,
drive.
See, that's just it. It's not as easy as people
I know.
Think. Now, everybody knows that they tell you, everybody knows the name of the unknown soldier.
I've been president of lodges, and I know exactly how
everybody
it is.
Knows the name of the unknown soldier, but they don't know that gets the wrong name. You know, everybody knows how to build a better mousetrap, right? But then they get it.
Well, once you you premise people want titles, but they don't want the responsibility of the work that comes with them. That's
and you said something on Steel State Sports World. The banquet's the 27th.
Right.
You start up again on the 28th.
We do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I send emails out that Sunday thanking everybody and say, on Monday, I need you to start looking at, you know, inductees for 2025. Because that's the only way, that's how the people that taught me how they were doing it, you know, kind of put that work ethic in and the need to keep it focused. You know, we've done one other thing that I want to talk about for a few minutes, which is we've taken on responsibility to host the Dan McCann's Coach's Corner luncheons. And we do it the second Tuesday in September, October, November, and December.
How is that one of them?
I thought you were. And we do it up at the Greater Pittsburgh Masonic
in
Center
North Hills.
Up in the North Hills.
Yeah.
And we invite three or four high school football teams, not the whole team, but the coach, and, you know, bring 8 or 10 players. Mm-hmm. We invite one or two of the local college teams, and we generally have a representative from the University of Pittsburgh, mm-hmm. somebody from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and Larry Richard is our MC for the luncheons, and Larry Richard is also our MC for the dinner program. But we've been working and trying to increase, you know, the visibility of the Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports
Well, you have a platform here on my show, Steel City Sports World, whatever we can do.
What we're doing. And we have decided as a group that, you know, we just need to promote this because we need to get more visibility. We need to get more younger people involved. And again, I'm a business guy. And in my world, the biggest problem many companies have is they just get complacent. Yeah. And I think this organization had gotten, to some extent, complacent. And I think, you know, in the 60s and 70s, this was a preeminent sports Hall of Fame. In the 2000 and subsequent years, there are so many Halls of Fame now with the pros, with the colleges, with the high schools, that, you know, our name as a Hall of Fame doesn't have the same,
You don't think so?
That's my opinion.
Okay.
And again, when we talk to people about our Sports Hall of Fame, a lot of people will say, well, you know, what school are you connected with? And we're not connected with a school. And again,
well, the title itself, Western PA, would give
should,
that.
Should, most think, people yeah. should understand that. Yeah. The other thing I think that we do is that we try to make sure we take and honor people who we laugh when we sit around at our meetings from non-revenue sports. So we don't want to have we've got major sports teams here. We could induct half a dozen people from the major sports teams sure. every year, but we don't think that's kind of our primary purpose either. So we are trying to spread the
It's a sports Hall of Fame. It's not a Big Four.
Yes.
I totally understand
yes.
that.
Yes, and it's not...
Because you're right, the big names would win every time.
Right. And we try to balance our ballot and our induction process with a cross-section, you know, of really well-deserving and well-qualified people, even if they aren't, you know, big revenue names.
And by the way, you said something as far as getting the youth. You know, we've talked about this a bunch of times. We have different guests on that belong to different organizations. And I've said it, you've said it, Claudio, we've had our guests say it. The biggest challenge is there is a huge disconnect, generationally speaking, between older folks, middle-aged, and younger folks, and who wants to get involved with an organization. For whatever reason, something happened, and now all of these organizations are basically dying out because they don't have replacements. They didn't groom them. And it's not just you guys. It's a lot of it. Whether it's, you know, cultural centers, whether, you know, it's Italian Club, Italian this, or, you know, whatever. They're, you know, the Rotary Club, the Lions Club, Knights of Columbus, whatever. They all have the same issue. They've got this older generation. It was very active, that this is a big deal. It was a big deal. And maybe some of their kids got involved, but then their kids didn't get involved. And now you've got this huge gap, and now you have this messaging that you're trying to go back and say, no, this is important, and they're going, why?
Right.
And it's very hard to explain the why. And that goes back to all the roots stuff, you know, the whole documentary that I'm filming. It's all about remember history, because if you don't have history, you don't know where you've come from. If you don't know where you've come from, you don't know who you are. And if you don't know who you are, you don't know what your purpose is and where you're supposed to go.
Where are you going? Now it seems like the only, well, I shouldn't say the only, but a lot of these organizations are networking functions.
Yeah.
Passing the card. And
But he's right, there's so many associations and networking now. I mean, you think now industry associations and things that you join to pay for. You know, I get certifications. I mean, you know, for my career, I get certifications. And every one of those certificates has a group you can pay to join for that purpose, solely for networking. It's like, what? Okay, I've got 57 things I'm supposed to be involved in. I can't. Even if I wanted to, I couldn't do it. It'd be a full-time job.
Sure. So one
well,
of the
that's
things-
what our luncheon program was designed to do. You know, we tend to, if we get four high school teams to four luncheons, we've got, you know,
right.
16 communities now who at least know what the Western Pennsylvania's chapter, the Western right. chapter of the Pennsylvania Sports Hall of Fame does in part. And then we try to, you know, keep building that. We've invited a number of these people to be our guests at our dinner. So that, again, it's a thing that once you've been there and have seen it, I think there's more of a, you know, a reason that people might want to be able to join and be involved.
Well, ideally, it'd be nice getting a home, because that's the other thing. When people have something to go touch and see, they go, oh, I didn't know that. And
Is that a goal?
Yes.
To have a building?
Or, something.
No,
at least a home that's permanent.
Like, or a home.
Right.
As a goal, and you talked about it earlier, I would like to see if we can't get more involved with the Heinz History Museum and with the sports museum aspect there. I don't know if it ends up being some kind of perhaps a kiosk where people would be able to look at
just
all of
something,
our
even if it's part of a wall.
Well, the Italian, we've
yes.
had Maria, Melissa.
I
shouldn't mess her name up. Melissa Marinaro, we've had her on.
Yep, a couple
and,
times.
And she does she's a curator for the Italian
okay.
Section. But she also has, you know, her hands in some other things. So, yeah, you know, do whatever I can to help you out. But I think the Heinz History Center would be a fantastic place.
Right, and we think there's an interface there that ought to make a lot of sense.
Without question.
Yeah.
Yeah, they would love to have something.
And the irony is they've got the nice big goalposts right outside. So you know there's a connection with Pittsburgh sports. You're thinking, okay, we're honoring Pittsburgh or Western Pennsylvania sports legends or people to have an impact, and we're not limiting it to the Big Four.
Right.
I don't know. There's something. In theory, it should be an easy sell.
I do not give up easily.
Listen to me. Trust me when I say I understand it. You look at things. You say, well, they should clearly support that, and I won't get into it. But then you're like, this is – you can't lose. Why won't you support me? Well –
And it certainly isn't
risk
about the money because
$10
and then the banquet isn't a whole lot. It's a great
$65, it's a pretty good meal.
Even to get somebody to host it, what does it cost them? Give me a part of your wall.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
I always use the phrase, it's another flower in your garden.
Yeah.
By having those plaques in that, whenever I used to go to the Doubletree for a function, I would always, and I've been to – I spoke there. I was invited to different things there. Even one time when I spoke there, I was almost late for my speaking engagement because I snuck down and I wanted to see those plaques. Mm. You know, to me, it meant something.
Yeah.
You know,
the room where we have them is wonderful.
Yeah.
The exposure we get where we are is limited. So if there's a way to dovetail both of those things, I don't think we want to lose our home we have. But if we could get more visibility.
Right. Like I said, give me a half a wall.
Explain the visibility. Do you mean as an organization or
to your point.
To know it even exists.
To your point, when they were at the Doubletree, they were in the public viewing area.
Right.
We have them in a room, the Hall of Fame room, on the second floor of the station of the Sheridan Station Square. Many, many, many people go through that Station Square, facility.
Without ever seeing it.
Right.
And I think they'd love to see it.
And they would.
Sign in there that says on the second floor?
Yes, Hall of Fame room. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, even in the lobby, it says Hall of Fame room. But if you don't ask what's in there, people have names of rooms of all kinds of things. The other visibility that we've tried is we have been trying to sponsor 30-second promos on the high school football program that KDK does every Thursday. So we've been asking them and paying them, to give us a 30-second blurb.
I just saw a light bulb go over Steve's head right now.
I've got an idea.
So for 10 weeks.
Did I hear money?
Yeah, for 10 weeks, that helps. That's right. That's right.
That was the eclipse. I saw something in the right.
We've got a marketing.
I thought Claudio put his glasses on.
We've got a marketing budget that works as long as I don't tell my wife about it.
Okay, that's pretty good. I got it.
And again, then the WPIL has a program, for their playoffs. And we do that, again, virtually. It doesn't go into the physical program, but on their website, we also, sponsor that. We're hosting this lunch and then hosting the dinner.
It's a stupid question. How important is money to your organization, having a big bank account?
We have a decent, reserve fund, but everything is self-funded on an annual basis. And so, our budget for our banquet and everything is about $25,000.
Okay.
And if we get 400 people, at $60.
Pays for itself and you're good.
It's basically self-sufficient.
So the biggest obstacle / issue / thing that you want to fix is what?
Name recognition.
So people know the Western PA.
That's right. And people say, what is it? And we can find out more about it. I've been derelict in my duty. We've got a wonderful website. And it's the Western PA Sports, HOF.org. Again, let me do that again. It's Western PA Sports, HOF.org.
And again, we'll put that, go down, look in the description of the podcast, and you'll see the link to the website. And again, there'll be some information about upcoming events. And, we're obviously trying to promote you. You're not Italian, but, we'll give you a pass.
I'm going to send you a list of the 750 inductees that would
– Oh, there's a lot of them.
In my opinion, would tend to be Italian.
I like your attitude. I'm just kidding with that, by the way.
I think the other thing, too, like for the Italian Hall of Fame, I'm 59. I'm not old, but I'm not, in my 30s. But I'm going to be as president as long as they want me to, and I'm honored to be it. But again, it's who after me.
Right. Not that I'm the main cog.
Nor with our organization. Yeah. Same issue. I mean, I'm just one of the minions. Yeah. But for the most part, I happen to be the minion who pushes people or yanks people or directs people. Yeah. And my folks on the committee who are listening hopefully know I mean that in a loving fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Again, go way back. Joe Natoli.
He's part of the Italian Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah.
And it is one of the great guys who's also in this Hall of Fame, yeah, who was a friend of mine a long time.
We name an award after him.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Just a tremendous, gentleman connected to youth sports in Western Pennsylvania that had an extraordinary reputation and an extraordinary impact on a whole host of people.
Yeah. I want to say he may have been one of the original board members. I know Dan Marino Sr., John Gattano, Tony Ferraro, and I think maybe Joe Natoli had a...
In the Italian
Hall
of Fame?
Yeah, pretty sure. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Good guy.
You bet.
Funny guy.
You bet.
Oh, yeah.
You bet.
Oh, good times. All right, before we start heading out here... any final thoughts? Anything you want to share?
And we'll
listeners?
Get you back on to talk about your officiating, because I think you have some stories.
Yes, I do. And there was a period of time when I was still officiating that I couldn't talk about any of that stuff because it was taboo. Oh.
Now you can.
But now that I'm retired, I'm
We're
happy.
Waiting for the book.
I'm happy. No. There's no book. I don't have enough time to write a book, and too many good friends, some of which who are Italian, who are part of the
may not appreciate the story.
The Big Ten organization.
The but names what, and the what, things have been changed to protect these.
Another guy that would be Coach Joe Paterno. You know, he was not only legendary, but he was so influential in so many players' lives. Not only football lives, but their professional lives. And again, one of the reasons I got at least to have a chance to meet Franco Harris a couple of times was because he knew that Joe Paterno and I were pretty good friends. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you a half hour story, you know, just about what I saw both in person and behind the scenes. I will leave one funny story for you because it's an Italian story about Joe Paterno. We used to go up to referee the blue-white game.
Oh, sure.
So we go up and we would dress for the blue-white game in the football building. And then, you know, you go up there and there's 80,000 people for a blue-white game. And we're getting dressed and we're getting ready to go up. And they put us in a little bread truck and had seats on the side. And the teams went up in the buses. And as we're going out to get in the bread truck, door opens. It's Coach Paterno. He goes, again, where the heck is everyone? I said, Coach, the bus has pulled out a couple of minutes ago. He's like, how am I getting to the stadium? I said, come on the bus. Come on the bread truck with us. So here's where it gets kind of humorous. As you go and leave the football building to go over, and, you know, it's private, so there's no traffic. We get into a little bit of traffic, and then on the right-hand side, we have, going up, and we go to turn in. And there's a barricade, and there's a, 18-year-old temporary security for the day. He's not going to move the barrier. And I said, we're the officials. And Coach gets up and he goes, I'm Joe Paterno. I need to be over. Right. And we go this way. He goes, I don't know if you're Joe Paterno or not, but I've seen 50 people with that same mask already today. I said, young man, unless you really want to make, national news, you should let us in here and go over there so we can go into the stadium and you won't have to be embarrassed like this ever again. And
that's
he,
pretty good.
He did. But
well, you know, you said
he said, I've seen 50 people with that mask on already.
Good.
I was like, oh, Jesus.
Well, you know, that happened with Chuck Tanner went to a pirate reunion, and the young man said, sir, I need your credentials. And he goes, like, they shows him his championship ring. Then Grant Jackson, Grant was very, Grant was a great guy, too, but he goes in, he walks in, and says, sir, I need your credentials. He says, my picture's on the wall, son. And he just kept walking. That's a good that's about as good of a comeback as you can get.
That pretty much summed it up right there.
Pretty much. But we appreciate having you on. And there was something else I was going to say, but
I'll give you another second to think about it. But we really appreciate the opportunity.
Anytime,
because all the more exposure that we can get, the better. Larry Richard's doing a pretty good job of getting us some exposure.
He's a good guy.
Bob Pompiani gets us some exposure again, primarily in April, to talk about our program and our event. And So again, we appreciate anyone and everyone who understands what we're doing and why we're doing it and can help us, you know, promote the whole effort, not the individual people, but the whole effort.
All right. Well, we're going to obviously put this on Italian Impact Weekly, but if it's okay, we're going to put
it on my show
as well. And we appreciate you coming, taking the time.
All right, gentlemen. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you very much again. And before we sign off, let's go through a couple of announcements. Claudio.
All right. First, before I do it, I want you to talk about your documentary. But remember, you can hear all our shows on ItalianImpactWeekly.com and CRSMmedia.com and hear such great guests as our guest today, Mr. Jack Teets, Mario Andretti, Vince Ferragamo, Vince Papali, Chris Corciani, as well as many successful businessmen and women in the Italian community. If you're looking to promote your business, please connect with us at question@ItalianImpactWeekly.com. And we not only can air your commercial, but we can produce one for you at a very good price and get you as much exposure as possible. And don't forget about my show, the Claudio Relsano Show, on ClaudioRelsano.com. You can hear such great guests as Rocky Blyer, Jim Rooker, Sid Bream, Dick Vermeil, Ken Griffey Sr., Robin Cole, Mario Andretti, Vinny Pazienza, and many, Roman Gabriel, many, many others. And don't forget about my book, Lead from the Heart Up, Not the Neck Up, How to Create a Positive Winning Culture on the Field and in the Office. And Steve, let's talk. Oh, and The Boxing Authorities with Luther Dupree Jr. and Smokin' Jim Frazier. Check that TV show out at keepboxingfree.com. Steve.
All right, I'll tell you a quick little story. Many years ago, I became friends with a gentleman named Joe DeAndrea. And he was one of the guys I wanted to have on this show, but Joe was pretty old at the time. And Joe became kind of like a mentor of mine. In fact, he passed away in December, and the Heinz History Center is going to be doing a kind of a tribute to him. I believe it's April 21st. But Joe would teach me about different aspects of Italian-American history here, especially in Western PA. That's why when we were talking before, I said it's important to understand your culture, your history. And when... Shortly before Joe passed away, he had told me a story about a bunch of Italian prisoners of war from World War II. They're actually kept about 2.5 hours from Pittsburgh in Letterkenny. And I'd never heard about them. Grew up in Pittsburgh, had no idea. After Joe passed away, I thought, man, life's too short. I remembered that story, and I thought, this would make a great documentary. So I started doing some research on it, started reading a little bit, and I discovered that there was a tremendous story here. It was these Italian... gentlemen were fighting in North Africa, in some cases for 3 years. Eventually they surrender, they're brought to the States, eventually Italy surrenders, and then they were brought to Letterkenny Army Depot in Chambersburg, PA. And since Italy had surrendered and essentially become an ally, some of them were offered the opportunity to swear allegiance to the United States, and then they could support the U.S. effort against, you know, the Nazis. So a lot of them did, and they were kept there, and they basically worked in support of the U.S. government. So they would do kind of things like maintenance, supply, different jobs. Well, there was a story about a gentleman who's, I have to go back and look at, I don't know if it was his wife or his whole family. Basically, they got killed in a bombing run in Italy. Now, keep in mind, while these guys didn't necessarily have a bad time here in the States, because, you know, Americans took care of them fairly well, fed them, gave them clothes, place to sleep, you know, offered them jobs, paid them, but they still hadn't been home in years. So, you know, you're home. I don't care who you are. You know, you could be not having a bad life, but if you haven't seen your wife or your kids or your mom for years, you know, especially if you're close, you know, you're not going to be feeling too good no matter how much food you're eating. So he became very despondent, and he was actually contemplating suicide, and someone discovered him in the barracks, and they talked to him, and they said, well, what did you do? He talks to the base commander. He said, well, what did you do back in Italy? He says, I was a mason. And he says, well, we don't have a chapel on base. Maybe you could build us a chapel or design as a chapel. He says, well, I'm the one to design. I'll build it for you. So he gets with the other prisoners, and they design and end up building this chapel in their off-duty time. So they would work all day at different maintenance places supporting the war effort. And then in the evening, they would go work on this chapel. And on weekends, they would work on this chapel. The chapel is actually still there. It's in Chambersburg. Wow. You can go visit it. But I've been working with... the U.S. Army Public Affairs there at Letterkenny. I've been working with some local politicians in Milan, and I've been working with the former president of the association for basically the prisoners. It's also in Italy, and it's called AMPL, and it's an organization that basically it consists now of family members, mostly kids of the prisoners, because all of the prisoners have since passed away. In fact, the last one I think passed away like 2 years ago. So now it's basically kids. And they are dying for these stories to be told, because I've got access to diaries and archival and photos and all kinds of just information. And you read this And there are just it's just tremendous stories that I don't want to see get lost. And it was introduced to me by a gentleman who said, this is why history is important. And then you go read and you go, I could forget this. We could just forget it and pretend like it didn't happen. But it's part of us. It's part of those people's lives. And they influence their kids. And every year, for a while, they would go back and visit this place. In fact, some of the prisoners actually, while they were there, met local women, came back from Italy, married them, and had kids and families and stayed in that area. So there's always a ripple effect to all of these things. So the documentary will be, good Lord willing, released in July. I've done a little bit of filming. I have to go back. In fact, this Friday I go back for a day of filming. And
are
then,
you going to Italy this Friday?
No, I'm going back to Chambersburg this
Friday.
But
you're going to Italy in May?
Italy in May. Okay. In May. And then I'm going to be working with the association. Right now, he's got about 20 or 30 people lined up from all over Italy. They're going to fly to Milan to be interviewed to be in this documentary.
Is that where you're going, Milan?
Yeah. So never been there. I've been there for a hot minute where I was at the...
Well, that's where my uncle lives.
We'll talk a little bit more. So I'll be there in May to finish the filming and then editing through June. And again, se Dio ci vuole, it'll be July, God willing. It'll be in July. It'll be released. And I'm excited. I'm mostly self-funding it. I did put some out on GoFundMe. I've got some contributions. I've got some support from some organizations who are funding. It's been fantastic. And again, if anybody's listening, you're interested, the trailer is out on YouTube. You can also see it on my Facebook site, but just go. The name of the documentary is called Fedeltà, Prisoner Soldier. And I think there's one other modern soap opera out on Netflix called Fedeltà, but it's not the same. You cannot mistake them, because this is a documentary about Italian prisoners of war from the Second World War. So I encourage you to go out and find the trailer. And again, if you're interested, go out to the GoFundMe site. Again, it's called Fedeltà, Prisoner Soldier. You just go look for Fedeltà.
Spell that.
Fedelta, with a little accent above the A, which if you're speaking any kind of Italian or Spanish or German, then you'll know that you have to either punctuate high or punctuate low. So Fedelta, it's and by the way, the name is like basically infers a loyalty between brothers. So it's like faithfulness. So it's a good one. So I'm excited for it.
All right.
But before we go, we just want to say, give our sponsors one last chance to say their words. Thanks to Greater Pittsburgh Travel. For any of your travel needs, let Tom and the team at Greater Pittsburgh Travel know, and they'll take care of you. For more information, call 412-331-2244 or visit their website at www.greaterpittsburghtravel.com. For all of your plumbing needs, be sure to try Pellucci Plumbing. Nick and the team have decades of experience and will get you back up and running. For more information, call Pellucci Plumbing at 412-782-5050. And we want to thank the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. If you're interested in learning more, you can find their contact information on Facebook at Calabria Club of Pittsburgh. Again, thanks Domenica and the team at the Calabria Club of Pittsburgh for your support. And we want to thank La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei, the only nonprofit school in Pittsburgh endorsed by the Italian Consulate. If you're interested in learning Italian or have your children being immersed in the Italian culture and language, be sure to give them a call at 412-404-7070. And that's La Scuola d'Italia Galileo Galilei. We'd also like to thank Chris Gonzalez from the Knights of Columbus. If you have any questions about joining the Knights of Columbus, reach out to Chris Gonzalez at 412-605-9074. All right, and again, thank you all for joining. Claudio, as always, I give you the last word.
We appreciate all of you listening, and as always, thank you, Mom and Pop. Talk to you soon.